Welcome to the preaching ministry of Dale Scribner, Senior Pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship, located in Olympia, Washington. Let us join Pastor Dale as he shares today's message.
Now last week, just by quick way of review, we learned that there were two overarching principles about growth. One is your spiritual growth has nothing to do with your physical age. We have seen young people that are growing like a prairie fire. And then we have seen older people that take off also like a prairie fire. So your spiritual growth has nothing to do with your physical age. And number two, here's the bottom line. We can grow spiritually as much as we want to. That's a fact. We can grow as much as we want to. Now, last week, we introduced four prerequisites we need to build a faith that will last forever. Number one, we learned last week that we need to get the right investor, and the investor is God. He is the higher power that the 12-step program refers to God as. We believe it's God, Holy God, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They have the power to make us what we want to be. Power to be more conformed to the image of Jesus. And we also learned last week that we serve a God who keeps his promises. And so principle number one, got to get the right investor, and our investor is God. Faith, it makes things possible, though not easy. And promise of God is that he will never fail you. You can always count on God to come through on God's timetable, not ours. Prerequisite number two, if we are going to grow a faith that will last a lifetime, then we need to follow the building code. We need to follow the building code. And God has outlined through Peter what that is. Look at verse 5 if you have your Bibles open. By the way, there's a detailed outline on the back table. Verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence. I have that highlighted. Put your whole heart into becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. Now, what we have just read here in this passage of Scripture, this is our part. God's part is he supplies the power. He gives us the promises by which we can stand on. And now this is our part. Now, as you look very carefully at this passage of Scripture, it almost seems like it's paradoxical because it says, God gives you everything you need. Gives us everything that we need. And then he says, add to that. Now, how could you add anything to everything? Question I had as I studied this passage of Scripture. And here's the answer. The answer requires cooperation, and growth always requires cooperation. We are cooperating with God. I must have cooperation with God's operation. I'm involved in this process. Now, if you or I were writing this epistle, we probably would have said, well, since God has given us everything, sit back, relax, veg in it, lounge around in it. But God likes to have us cooperating with him so that he can perfect the good work that he has started in our lives, giving all diligence. Now, something that you need to remember is that salvation is a gift. We don't work for it. It's a gift. Notice what he says in verse 1 and 2. You have obtained like precious faith. And so we receive faith. It's a gift from God. But now we're talking a little bit about sanctification. And that requires teamwork with God. We just don't sit back and watch it happen. Because if we sit back and just watch it happen, guess what? Nothing happens. So we have to get involved in the process. And spiritual growth is never accidental. It's always intentional. Always intentional. Paul, the Apostle Paul, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, says it in another way. Look what he says. He says, therefore, brethren, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. Have you ever been puzzled by that? When he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Some people take that to mean that we have to work to get our salvation. That's not true. Our salvation is a gift from God. We receive it by faith. But notice here, Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Notice what follows right after that. It says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The same thought expressed, Peter expresses in his epistle. A song that we often sing, a praise song. He who began a good work within you will complete it. So God's at work. And so we have to cooperate with God by letting him work in our lives. One of the ways to read the Bible and the Gospels is to notice the red letters. The red letters are words expressed by Jesus. So a good way to get started is just you read the red and obey the red. Simple as that. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So God has this part, we do our part. For example, a composer sits down to his desk and the keyboard, and he composes some music, a song. And he writes the chord, he writes in the melody, he writes in the notes, and he's writing the timing down, the cadence of it. If it picks up or slows down, he's composing the song. So he gives everything that is needed for the production. After it's all said and done, the composition is complete. It's all there on paper. However, it takes a musician to work that out and to play the score and to give the audience what is written down. All that is needed is a voice to sing that composition, or an instrument to play it with. So, that's how it works. God needs our cooperation. And there's another thing that we need to do here as we begin to grow. We need to supplement what God has already started. Notice what it says. Therefore, giving all diligence, or making maximum effort, add to your faith. And then he gives seven supplements that follow. Now we hear a lot of talk and dialogue these days about supplements. I heard more about supplements than I've heard in all my life when I used to have breakfast with Dick Shore. Now, Dick retired as a real estate broker, and he sold real estate. And he told me that when he was selling real estate, he studied hard. He read the books, burnt the midnight oil, becoming an expert at moving property and getting houses for people looking for a house. Dick was very successful with that. By the way, One of the things that I really learned from Dick is a lot of things I learned from him, but one of the things was he said, if you have a piece of property for rent, don't rent it to a friend or a relative, because you will lose a friend, lose a relative, probably won't get paid. So we pass that along for whatever it's worth. Some buy into it and some don't. But anyway, Dick told me that once he retired, he had mastered all that he cared to master on real estate. And so he started delving into supplements. That guy had a remedy, a supplement for every ache and pain that he had. His cabinet was plumb full of supplements. As a matter of fact, when he passed away, went on to be with heaven, he had some supplements that were still unopened, and Sharon took them back and cashed them in.
Got $700 for it.
$700, can you believe that? Yeah. So the point is that if I had a question, Dick had the answer. Here's the supplement that you need to take. Well, if we're going to grow a faith that will last a lifetime, then God has some supplements that we need to take. We need to cooperate with God. You got it? And so let's say, for example, that as we build a life of faith, let's use the analogy of building a house. Okay. Now, we want this contractor to build a house for us that will last our lifetime, right? We don't want some shady work done on this house. We want the best that our budget can buy. We want to have a house that when people walk in it or drive by it, they will go, wow, what a beautiful house. How many of us ever go to these open houses, these million-dollar open houses? You walk through those, you, wow, what a beautiful house. You get a wow experience. Well, if we are going to grow a faith that will last a lifetime, then we need to do something. We need to take some supplements. And these seven supplements that are mentioned here. For example, when you build a house, you don't want to put in a little dinky metal sink. You want the marble farm sink type of a sink. And you don't want to cook your food on a hot plate, do you? A contractor may recommend one of these Viking stoves. And you don't want to put formica on the countertops. Let's put marble in. Let's make this thing last. And so this is what we have learned. God gives us the power. He makes the promises. But guess what? We add the perks. He'll give us everything we need to pull it off, but he gives us an opportunity to supplement what he's already doing by giving us these perks. And this is up to us. Now, there are seven of them here. Let's see how far we can go today. One way to look at excellence is something that is fulfilling the purpose for which it was made. That is what this excellence is referring to. And so let's start adding. First one is we add virtue. Add to your faith virtue, which is moral excellence. Would you agree that in our society today, we are bankrupt when it comes to morality? But if I'm going to grow a faith, I got to do it God's way. He said, add to your faith. That's something that we do. Add to your faith virtue means moral excellence. Moral excellence. One way to look at that is excellence is something that fulfills the purpose for which it was made. And when you do that, when we do that, we are adding something special, excellence to our faith. Then he says, add to that knowledge. Add to that knowledge. Now, this is a different word for knowledge than what is typically used in the New Testament. This is the Greek word epignosis, which means an expert knowledge. Someone who's an expert in the field. Someone who is full of knowledge. Someone who really knows what he's talking about. It's a growing faith. It's a personal faith. It's authentic knowledge. One that is very practical. Then he says, add to your knowledge, add self-control. Add self-control to it. Sometimes there's a huge gap between what we know, which is our knowledge, and what we do, which is our actions. And the right bridge to build the knowledge that we have with the actions, what we do, is this thing called self-control. I've heard this a long time ago. You probably have heard it too. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's true. The Greek word is hold oneself together, speaking of a training athlete. Self-control is a word that was a Greek word that means to hold oneself together. Spoke of an athlete who would say no to eating certain kinds of food and yes to certain kinds of training because he wanted to win a race. I was kind of impressed by Brendan. He had some bucks to spend at the store at the Black Lake Bible Camp, but he came back home with 40 bucks in his pocket. And he said, I decided I'm in training for football and I'm not going to eat the junk food at the candy store. Smart decision. Okay, let's move on. Another supplement is perseverance. It means to bear up under the trial or hardship, the difficult circumstance. We will often say to somebody who's going through a tough time, and all of us have had our seasons of tough times, hang in there. I always say, when I ask, how you doing? And the reply is, well, I'm hanging in there. I say, well, that's good. It's a lot better to hang in than hang out, right? So hang in there. That's perseverance. And the way we persevere is that we need to get absolutely soaked in God's unconditional love for us. That will help us to become motivated to persevere. Hang in there. It's always too soon to quit, we say. Then add to that godliness. It's a word that speaks of being right with God. And since I am right with God, I can be right with other people. So we have the vertical and we have the horizontal axes just right. Then he says, add to that brotherly kindness. Philadelphia, city of love, agape love. That's the love that Jesus gave us on the cross. It's a sacrificial love. And so these are the seven supplements that we are to add to our faith. These are the seven perks to the building. He gives us the power, gives us the promises to pull it off. And so you just can't pick and choose here. There is a domino effect when you start out with the very first one. Look at it this way, for example, and you'll see the progression. One will lead to the other. So if you have faith, what will that do? That will produce a life of virtue, life of morality. If you have a moral, excellent life, that will lead to knowing God better. And when you know God better, you become more self-control. And when you're more self-control, you're able to persevere under the load better. And when you do that, you become more godly. And that leads to genuine care for people and sacrificial love. You know, when someone approaches you and you listen to them tell their story, the way it so often goes down the pike is you listen to them tell your story, their story, and then sometimes we will say, well, I'll pray for you. And then we move on in different directions. I think there's a better way of doing that. I think when someone comes to you and bears their soul and the struggle that they may be going through, instead of saying, well, I pray for you, why don't we just say, well, before we go, let's just pray right now for you. Pray on the spot. When we pray on the spot, we know that there's genuine love expressed. Because when you say, I pray for you, well, you sometimes wonder, are you really praying? Or is it just a cliche that we sometimes use? So learn to pray on the spot. So, that's the second prerequisite that we have to have in order to build a faith that's going to last a lifetime. Now there's a third principle. We need to build with growth in mind. We need to build with growth in mind. We need to keep going, keep on keeping on. There's no way we can plateau in our Christian life and expect God to have full control of our lives. We need to keep pedaling in our faith, in our walk with God. What happens when you are riding a bicycle and you decide to coast for a while? You lose your speed, don't you? You lose your momentum. And so we need to keep pedaling. The word that he uses here is abound. I have so much that it overflows. That's the idea behind this verse here. Now, some of you may have driven through Southern California. Like Dan and Sherry lived there for a little while. Did you and Sherry ever go through that Winchester Mystery House when you lived in San Jose?
I did, but I don't think she did.
You did, but she didn't. Well, there's a story behind that. That house has 160 rooms. It was built by Sarah Winchester of the Winchester rifle fame. And she was told by a medium that if she keeps on building onto her house, she'll never die. That sounded pretty good. And so she'll never die and she'll have eternal life. So she kept on building. Well, she died years ago. But the house is still there. And it remains as a testimony to the belief that as long as I'm here, I'm always expanding in my life. Always growing in my life. Look at verse 8. It says, for if these things are yours and abound, that's the word overflow. Notice what it says. There's a promise. You will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to the blindness and has forgotten he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent, hardworking, exert to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, notice what it says, you'll never stumble. You'll never stumble. When you build with growth in mind, when you do that, it's very productive. You'll never live a barren life. You will never be parked on the sidelines, not working, not functioning. Now, I have a clock. In fact, I have more than a clock. The boxes I'm finally beginning to unpack in the hangar. Came across some old clocks. You know what? None of them work. None of them work. So you know what I'm going to do with them? into the garbage, get rid of them. Something doesn't work, out the door they go, right? And so if we build with growth in mind, we will never be this kind of a person. And you've heard it said, well, you know, I've tried Christianity, I've tried Jesus, and it just doesn't work for me. Have you ever heard that statement? I think I'm just going to check out for a while. It doesn't work for me. If we do what God says in His Word and add these supplements to our life of faith, we won't be saying things like that. The truth is, it's not that it didn't work. The truth of the matter is, you stopped operating. You stopped working. So when we take these supplements and add to our faith, we will never be barren. We will never be unfruitful. Now look at that word fruit. It's one of those things that the New Testament talks about a lot. And it's an analogy of an ever-expanding life that blesses other people. Fruit. Jesus spoke about people who hear His words and they take it to heart and they produce fruit, some 30, some 60, and some even 100. Fruit is an ever-expanding life that blesses other people. When we abide in Christ and He in us, He gives us the nourishment that we need to produce fruit. And the purpose of fruit is it refreshes people. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm around some people, talking with them, listening to them, I come away drained. They just drain me of my energy. I'm tired. Whew. I come across other people and I interact with them. I leave energized. I leave upbeat, full of life, new energy. That's what fruit is supposed to do. Our fruit is supposed to refresh other people. Some people that we interact with, I call them EGR people. You know what that means? Extra grace required. But if we have the fruit that the Bible talks about, we will be blessing to other people. Now, there's three kinds of faith, basically. One is faulty. One is fake. James 2:19 says that even the devils believe, and what do? They tremble. Every demon in hell believes in Christ, believes in God, and so we're not in great company when we just say, well, I believe, so does the devil. There's a second kind of faith, and this is a firm faith. When I hear the phrase, how firm is your faith, I think of J. Vernon McGee. I don't know if you've ever listened to him on the radio, but he's a good man to plug into. How firm a foundation. This is genuine faith. This is saving faith. This is where you are built on the firm foundation of the finished work of Christ. We've been justified by faith, saved by faith. That's a firm faith. There's a third faith. I call this a flowing faith. It's so firm that it receives the benefit of a life of Christ that's abiding in Him. And it leads to a productive life. Now, this is a picture here of a fruitful life that Peter's talking about. Flowing faith. Firm, but flowing. Jesus said at the Feast of the Tabernacle, He stood up at the feast and said, if any man thirst, let him come and drink. And then He said, out of his heart, his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So, what's the lesson learned here? Don't be a gulper, taking it all in, but learn to be a gusher, giving it out, blessing other people, refreshing other people. So, to be productive, look at verse 9. But he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. He has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. You will never stumble. I recently read about a man who had just got married. And he went on a honeymoon. Came back from his honeymoon and went back to work. Spent a day in the office. He leaves his office after being back for the first day after his honeymoon. And he's late for dinner. 3 hours late. By the time he gets home, his wife is just fuming at the mouth. The meal is burnt. She's mad. And you know what happened? He had forgotten momentarily, because it was the first day back at work. He had a stack of papers he had to take care of. You know what he did? He went to his mom's house instead of his new home, because that was his routine for years. He was absent-minded that day. I think his name might have been Billy Boy. I don't know. You know the story about Billy Boy. Too young to leave his mother. Someone calculated he must have been about 80 years old. Still too young to leave his mother. But in any event, I don't think he made that mistake again. But when we work these perks, these supplements that God has given us, we will grow and our faith will expand. And we will develop a faith that refreshes people when we come into their presence. Now, there's one more principle, and we're going to pick up on this one next Sunday. We're going slow through this epistle so we can get as much as we can out of a 30-minute message. The fourth prerequisite to me is one of the most exciting of the four. We'll talk about that next Sunday. Let's all stand together and let's sing our New Hope song.